Welcome everyone to the Anime Intrigue Podcast. Today we'll be discussing our first impressions on the spring 2015 anime season. Alright, next is Kyokai no Rene, or Ren. It's about, as a child, Sakura Mamamia mysteriously disappeared in the woods behind her grandmother's house. She returned home whole and healthy, but she had the power, developed the power to see ghosts. Now a teenager, she just wishes the ghosts would leave her alone. And then she eventually meets the Rokudo-kun, who is the grandson of a Shinigami, but he wants to live on Earth. But he also has a cloak that makes him invisible, and he's trying to make a living by fixing ghost problems. He's basically like a Ghostbuster. But since he's only one for Shinigami, he has to buy tools to exercise them, and so he's always trying to save money, and he's always starving. And it's absolutely hysterical at times. I think the show is actually pretty good. It's based on a manga by the mangaka of Inuyasha, the famous anime. It kind of reminds me of like Noragami, except like retro. This show is very retro. It reminds me of a early 2000s, late 90s anime, which makes sense. Is this by the mangaka Inuyasha? I like it. The show's first episode is kind of meh. The second and third ones are much funnier. It's kind of combines some comedy with some decent characters, and I like the main character's name, Rokudo-kun. It's a fun show. It doesn't do a whole lot, but overall, it's one of the higher-up shows on the... it would make my top 15. Just barely. It's a decent, fun show. What do you think, Jamie?
Actually, I thought the first episode was more interesting than the other two. I like it. I think I still like Raycon more. But it is fun. I like the girl. I like the boy, and that the fact that he has to buy his little ghost things is really funny. That's just really hysterical. And he's always borrowing money off of her. And I love that in the last episode where he's like, something happened and he ended up not having to spend money. He's like, I saved 500 yen. And that was really funny. So he's really fun and she's fun. The little dog creature, I don't know what that is. He's kind of odd. Do you know what that is?
They named him like a familiar or something like that. He was his, he worked, okay, fired from his grandmother. So he's working, she's trying to work with him. And the hilarious part, well, I'm not going to spoil that because you just need to watch the show. So basically, if you like comedy, I'm sure there's supposed to be some romance in this. If you like some shonen, if you like Inuyasha, or a retro anime kind of feel, this is a pretty decent, fun show. It's not going to blow you away. It's probably not going to go anywhere. It's going to be 24 episodes, so if you don't like longer shows, maybe this isn't for you. But it's fine. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised it's getting so many episodes, because I don't really see like how many different things they can do in that length of time. I think it would be fine just as like a 12-episode show. So I'm curious to see where
it
goes.
If we know anything from what we know about the mangaka, he can make, or she, can make anything go forever, because Inuyasha lasted forever. I don't even know if it's finished. I don't know much about Inuyasha. Is anyone listening? I only read about it. Okay, the next show would have been Lupin the Third, but apparently has been delayed until next season, or even late as the fall. But I am really looking forward to this new Lupin the Third. I'm a big fan of the old Castle Cagliostro and the recent Fujiko Mine series, so we're moving on. Two, Megure Gekurin Kumikoku, or Megure School Suite. Jamie, why don't you tell us about this?
Okay, yeah, this is one of my top favorites of the season. This is about a girl she's like kind of addicted to her dating sims games, and she forms little girl crushes. from playing those games so much. So she finally picks a high school to attend because of the pretty girl that was on the brochure, of course. And the school she ends up picking is very club-based, where you have to join a club if you even want a dorm room. She's still not in a club. She's sleeping out in the hall. So she needs to join a club and then participate in club battles, which is really cool. So it's kind of, I think it's a magical school. There's like a magical cat and stuff. But it's very comedy-based, and the main girl is very spunky and very fun. So I really like this show a lot, because it's made me laugh pretty good. So
this show is kind of strange for me. I don't know why. Like, the first episode was kind of off-putting, because I was trying to figure out, is this a Yuri? Is this, what the heck is going on here? Because
yeah, it's hard to peg what it is.
It's not a Yuri show, but it kind of... I don't know how to describe it, but the main girl is really unique. She's
almost like a boy, in a sense, because if you just, like, traded her out for a boy, she would be just, like, a really, like, spunky male lead, but she's a girl. I don't know, like, but she seems a lot like a boy, but she's very feminine, but that might be why she feels a little odd, I think. She has like some masculine like tendencies.
Sure, she just
have
like a tomboyish filter, and I love her character. Yeah. Like, her orange hair looks really nice, and her scarf, it works for some reason. It makes her distinct from everyone else, and she's just a very unique character. The supporting cast is surprisingly unique to a point, except for the student council president, who is the same student council president that you've seen every other anime ever. She's pretty, she's stoic and closed off and everything. She's what you usually expect, but that's okay. The school battles are actually surprisingly good. The animation kind of changes there and those things to more of a, it doesn't have to follow like the usual, the character models. It goes off model, but in a more artistic way as to not be bad. The action sequences aren't amazing. They're okay. The show is kind of funny. I don't love it as much as Jamie does, but I am enjoying it, and it's growing on me.
That's good. So I really do enjoy the show. It's the first episode especially made me laugh. And any time her pervy cousin like comes on, like that's pure comedy gold. So I laugh so hard because she gets so annoyed with him because he's so in love with her. It's just like punching him in the face or something. There was one scene in the last one where he like freaked out over a picture he saw of her, and then. So then another student just like randomly like popped in and made some origami, and she was so like, what? And it was like, it was so odd, and it was like the show knew it was just an odd scene, and it was so funny. I laughed so hard. So I'm definitely watching this for the laughs and for the characters.
Oh, also, to quote the cousin, cousins can marry in Japan. That's what he says.
It's really funny. He's one of my favorite characters.
It's funny they call him a cuz-con. Alright. Next show is The Disappearance of Nagato Yuki-chan. It's a spin-off of the Haruhi Suzumiya series. And there's the Disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya movie, where a certain thing happens and the world is different. And this is set in a similar version of that one, except without any supernatural element. Basically, the robot Yuki Nagato is not a robot. She is a girl, and she's really shy, and she's very shy and cute and everything, and it's more of a romance between her and Keon. And if it's going to set to be 24 episodes, so I am hoping there will be some kind of romantic progression between the two. This actually is almost like a fan fiction brought to life, because it takes two characters who would not be together in canon and kind of makes their own thing. This is straight up fan fiction, and I kind of like it. Unfortunately, Kyoto Animation does not return to animate the series, and so State Light does it, and their animation's okay. It's nothing special. The characters look significantly different, because it's not Kyoto Annie. It's more modern moe rather than the great style of the old show. I do get some serious nostalgia when they start playing the classic music. I'm a shameless Harley Suzumiya fan, and anytime I could watch a show with her in it and those characters in it, I'm on board. I don't think it's that great. If you're not a Harley Suzumiya fan, you shouldn't even be watching it. But if you are, it's fun. It's think of it as watching a fan fiction. It's an interesting idea, and if the romances go further than just the usual, I will be impressed. Otherwise, there's not much else to it. So, the next one is Nisekoi : also known as Nisekoi Season 2, because for whatever reason they have it just use a colon. Okay, Nisekoi Season 2 is the second season of the show about Raku, the son of a gangster, and Tachibana, who is the daughter of a gangster, and to keep the two sides from fighting, the two gangster clans from fighting, they enter a fake relationship, and which is why the name of the show, Nisekoi, meaning false love, and they have a fake relationship. They're supposed to act like girlfriend and boyfriend to keep the two sides from trying to kill each other. And it's a straight-up romantic comedy harem by Studio Shaft, the studio that brought us Monogatari, Graffiti, and a bunch of other great shows. I know some people don't like Shaft. I like Studio Shaft a lot. I'll watch anything by Studio Shaft. I absolutely love their style. I love Akira Shimbo's crazy way of making everything look. It's visually interesting. And this second season is better than the first. I don't know why. I don't remember the first season all that well, but I don't remember it being nearly this funny. This new season is making me laugh every time. The animation is beautiful. Then of course now we have the ongoing best girl war between Shitoge, Onidera, and whoever cares about the other ones, because you know they don't have a shot. It's a fun show. It's hilarious. It's a great rom-com. So, watch the first season, watch the second season. Moving on to Ore Monogatari, the show that everyone should be watching right now. Go watch it. It follows Takeo Gota, a giant guy with a giant heart. Too bad for him. Girls don't want him. They like his best friend, Shukuwaga. Shuno Kahara. I don't even know how to say his name. Basically, throughout his life, every girl that he liked is the girl that but they liked his best friend, because he's a big, kind of ugly dude who's huge. He's 6'4", and he's in high school. So, all the girls don't like him. They always like his best friend, so eventually. But then, in high school, he saves a girl on a bus, and he instantly falls in love with her, but of course he thinks that she likes his best friend. And then we kind of get a thing where he decides that he wants to support his best friend in getting those two characters together. But then there's a twist. And so Jamie, tell me what you think about the show.
Basically, the third episode should go down in anime history. Because that episode was amazing. Like, that was amazing. This show is number one for me right now, because it breaks all expectations or standards that you'd have for a shoujo romance. And I don't know, it's been amazing so far. And it's done a really good job in connecting my heart to the hearts of all three main characters. So it's like the must-watch of the entire season. It'll probably be the must-watch of the year, I'd say, as long as it stays strong.
I have no doubt this will be top 10 of the year. Well, here's the thing. Episode 1, we see something. Episode 2 pretty much sets up what we think is going to happen for the rest of the show. Episode 3 completely crushes your expectations, throws them into a ditch, and leaves them at the wayside, because by completely breaking all the rules in shoujo romances, the characters don't ever get together. They don't even know decide they like each other until the last episode, and even then, you don't even know. They usually just say, well, the status quo is the same. But this completely destroys it. One, it takes place from the male perspective, it takes place from the big dude who is the complete opposite of a Bishonen guy. And he's hysterical. He is naturally funny. His personality is funny. He's he's really loud. But he's also really nice. He wants to help his best friend. And his best friend...
Yeah, he has a heart of gold.
And his best friend, Makoto, he's just the typical Bishonen guy. So they're like a
well, that's what we think.
Contrast, but episode 3 throws in an epic bromance. And it's bromance, as in these two guys are really good friends. And it's really emotional. Episode 3 is emotional, it's funny, it's shocking. My jaw was on the floor.
I almost cried twice. I was like so moved. I was so invested. I was like, there's no way they're doing this. And then I almost cried twice.
Now, so. I just want to know what's going to happen for 21 more episodes. I don't know anymore.
And I know.
Any genre full of predictability that is amazing. I just don't know what's going to happen. And I love that fact. It's my number one show of the season. Madhouse Studio is king of anime. Mm-hmm. They had the two best shows of last season with Parasite and Death Parade. Ori Monogatari is going to run for 24 episodes, so this is going to be the best show of this season, most likely, and possibly next season. And in the fall, they're going to be adapting the popular One Punch Man. So Madhouse, they are the king of all anime right now. They can do no wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
They know what they're doing. And it's very nice to like watch a show from somebody who knows what they're doing.
I mean, by the end of the year, I'm sure there's going to be 4 Madhouse shows in my top 10. So, it's you just have to watch it. The animation is great. It's not too shoujo-esque. And since it's a male protagonist, it doesn't feel discouraging to male audiences. It doesn't feel like you're excluded because you're like, yeah, he's the big dude that the girls don't like. How can you not like him? He's such a likable guy. And he's kind of relatable, strangely, though I'm not really like him. And everything in that show is crushing genre conventions. I love it. All right, you have any more thoughts before we move on to the next show?
Only that it's, like, amazing. It's so good. Y'all seriously need to watch it if you're not watching it yet.
Next is Iwari no Seraphim, or Seraph of the End. It's by Wit Studio, the studio that brought us Attack on Titan, a story that takes place in a world where an unknown virus killed all of humanity except for children, or so we think. And then the first episode is like a prologue. In that it follows the characters when they're really young, and then we fast forward to when they're older. Basically, Attack on Titan. The show is Attack on Titan with vampires, yes. And not nearly as interesting, but there is some hope. Basically, the main character is revenge-driven. He's Eren Yeager. You have the kick-butt female character, Mikasa, and then you have the weak, kind of best-friend character, or Eren. But despite those similarities, I am interested. So here's the thing. First episode was interested. I didn't really like the characters that much. But the world was interesting. Episode 2 pissed me off. It is set in a freaking high school. How many times have we seen that in anime? Way too many. I've seen so many shows set in high school. Like, I don't mind shows set in high school. It's the norm. But after you set up a really apocalyptic world, I want to see it. I want to see the world. I want to see it. See, Attack on Titan was never set in high school. It was set in military training. But episodes 3 and 4 made me think that maybe we're going to go to those military camps. I mean, maybe it's going to be more military focused. Like, they are in the special school for the guys who are going to wield the demon weapons. And this new character introduced episode 4. He had a good backstory. And also, like, the elements of the main female who was... the kick butt female who was telling the guy is like when you know the typical confession thing when that guy was given a letter by some girl saying go ahead and make babies. We need to repopulate the Earth, is basically what she said. So, it's interesting, but there are certain elements, the high school setting, namely, that could really drag it down to subpar. What do you think, Jamie?
Well, I have some hopes for the show. The main character is, like, he's starting to get on my nerves because he is kind of one-dimensional. He's like Aaron, and Aaron was a bit one-dimensional, not this bad. I like the other characters a lot, and I really like the pink-haired guy. I hope we see them as a team, like, for the rest of the show, because I think that'd be a really fun relationship aspect to see. Kind of two guys who just, they don't really want friends, or they don't want to be partners, but if they can become partners, that'd be really fun. And I'm really interested to see more of the vampires, because it's really nice to have vampires as villains again. They're just, they've become romanticized, I think, in recent fiction, which I'm tired of, because I really like when they're the villain, like in Dracula. So, I can see where some people would find this maybe annoying, but I've been enjoying it so far. I think it has potential.
Two things that's really great about this is the animation. It looks really good. The action sequences are well done. And Sawano's soundtrack. I mean, he's the guy who did Attack on Titan and Kill la Kill. And surprisingly, this is not the same soundtrack he's done a million times. I mean, he has done the same thing in Kill la Kill, Attack on Titan, Aldenoa Zero, and this is actually different, so I give him credit for that. So yeah, it's, if you like shonen, Attack on Titan, vampires, action, watch this show. It's not amazing, but it's good. What is amazing is our next show, Plastic Memories. Okay, it's by Studio Dokubo, which is the ones who did Gekkon Shoujo, Nozaki-kun. And it takes place in the future, where androids that look exactly like humans spread across the world, and they're called Giftia. And this special corporation has made these androids, and they are basically human. They have almost humans. They are, for all intents and purposes, function as humans. But they only have a certain lifespan of about 9 years. So the special organization must go collect them after 9 years, or they will go insane and potentially hurt people. But the show is not set in like a dystopian Blade Runner-esque world. It is set in like very bright and good future, where these androids just happen to only live for so long and they must be taken. Sometimes the owner resists, but this is not an action show. This is a drama. This is a slice of life. This is a comedy at times. And it follows this group of characters, namely Ilsa, or Isla, who is the android that works with the newbie, Tsukasa. And Tsukasa falls in love with Isla, and here's the thing. Episode 1 was the best first episode of the spring season, no doubt. It has some funny moments. It was very sad. It has some great emotional punch. But, okay, then episode 2 was interesting. We had more set up at the background. It's kind of like Death Parade's episode 2. We got to learn more about how things work. But then episode 3 happened. And it was more about Tsukasa and Isla living together in their new dorm, which is what this is. That's what, like, android and their partners do. They live in the same place, so they can learn teamwork, kind of thing. And it's basically him trying to get to know her better, she shuts him out. She doesn't really listen, and he tries all these wacky things, and it's actually really funny, but I can see some people getting turned off by it. But just keep watching. If you drop to episode 3, pick it back up. Because episode 4 goes right back on track to what episode 1 did. It's very sad. It mixes sadness, but also with an interesting family component. It's very interesting. And I like how this sci-fi world is set up, where these characters, where it takes, like, see, these androids are essentially family to these people. And And I'm hoping each episode will show, like, how this android is special to this person in a different way. It, like, the first episode was in, like, a grandmother and grandchild. This recent one was more like a parent figure. Like an older sister who raised a kid. So, and it was really well done. Episode 1 and 4 are fantastic. What do you think, Jamie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the show. I could see where some people got turned off by the third episode because there was a shift from drama to comedy. It actually didn't throw me at all. I really enjoyed that episode a lot. But yeah, if you did drop it, you need to pick it back up because I almost cried again in episode 4. I was like, what happened? Like, the show does a really good job on showing relationships and that interesting relationship aspect between androids and humans, especially since these androids are so human-like. That's what really helps the whole relationship aspect of the story, because it's a very intriguing idea of how involved androids could become in, like, a society. I thought they did a really, really good job in episode 4. It was a throwback of episode 1, because they did a good job introducing the new characters and showing how the android had touched the family, and then the team resolving the problem that arise. And it was just really good. So I really like this show. I hope it has a solid ending, because it's really sweet. It's really well done. I really love the look of this show. Out of a lot of the shows this season, like Kekkai Sensen, it looks amazing, and so does Euphonium, but I really like how the characters look in Plastic Memories. I don't know why. That's like one of my favorite parts about the whole show. So I just like, I like all the colors, and I like the relationship aspect.
Yes, I agree. I would rank it my third favorite.
So yes, it dropped a little bit. Then.
Episode one and two was my number one. But episode 3 kind of took it down a bit. Episode 4 brought it back up. So it's like, it's right there. It's fighting with Kekkai Sensen. But of course, Rory Monogatari is number one because it completely destroyed genre convention.
Rory Monogatari replaced both our number ones. Euphonium was my number one, and then I saw the third episode of Rory Monogatari.
Actually, episode 3, Rory Monogatari, so, episode of the freaking year.
That's funny.
Okay, moving on to the next show, Punchline. Okay, it's a show about a high schooler, Yuta, who, when he gets excited by women's underwear, gets superpowered. But then if he sees them twice, like, well, he gets powered up and then he sees it again, he creates an explosion that literally destroys the world. So he destroys the world one day, but then someone steals his body. So he's stuck in astral projection form, basically a ghost. And so he meets some pervy cat who tells him about what ghosts can do. And he goes back in time to see what happened and why the earth got blown up. And the first episode's strangely entertaining. It's really weird. The animation's by Studio MAPPA, and it looks really bright. It's very colorful, it's interesting, and there's also this superhero aspect because it opens with a bus being attacked by some people, and then this character named Strange Juice, who is a girl uses a straw, a giant straw, as a weapon, and fights off these bad guys. Yeah, and her assistant is like a super tech person, and you discover why later. And then we go back and we see the dorm, the apartment complex of where the characters live, where Strange Juice, the tech girl, the neat, and the really unique character who has purple hair. I don't remember her name, but she's a medium, but she's a fake medium.
Yeah. She's my favorite of the girls.
Really weird. It reminds me of Foolie Cooley or FLCL. The music's really cool. It reminds me of Scott Pilgrim as well. It's very colorful. The second episode completely stops the plot and dead in its tracks. And then, but it does let you learn about the character, which I like. The third episode is kind of foreshadowing some certain plot elements, as some more funny craziness. And I don't really know where the show is trying to go, but I also like the fact that it's unpredictable. I don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
And I like that. And it's also utterly insane, but the etchy, but the eyes you would expect from this concept, the etchy element is pretty high. Although episode one is where the most etchiness is. Episodes 2 and 3 lower it down significantly, but it's still there. So yeah, it's a show about a boy that destroys the planet with the power of Pantsu. So, Jamie, do you have any thoughts on the show?
This show is so weird. But I actually like that. From the first episode, I thought the whole he sees the panties thing, it felt like that was going to be the main plot element. But from episode 2 and 3, not so much, which I really like. Because I think that made a lot of people drop it, which is kind of a shame because it's been a lot of fun to watch. I like the main character. He has a different type of voice than like your normal like shonen lead, which I kind of like. The only part I don't like is that pervy cat. Like if that cat was like less, like just like toned down a little bit, I'd probably have it up higher on my list. But I really like it. I like the different girls. And the house that they live in is really cool. With the different rooms are very, they like screen the personalities of the girls. So it's really fun to just kind of get to duck your head into each one throughout the episodes. I have no idea, like, what to expect next, but I'm excited to see what's going to happen next, yeah. Because it's extremely entertaining, so I want to see what happens next, so definitely not dropping it. it's just a lot of fun. It's just kind of like, it's just one of those, like, a lot of fun shows.
Yeah, it's a good way to describe it. Kind of like a roller coaster. So, yeah, don't let the first episode deter you. If you can get past it, there's nothing worse else later in the show. It gets so toned down. And it's not, and that is literally the only fan service. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's no guy falling on girl fan service kind of stuff. It's just that one thing, and that's it. It's, yeah.
And it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny too. I really liked that whole pregnant misunderstanding conversation that happened. That I was laughing out loud. That was pretty good comedy right there. And it was like during right after like a serious scene too. So the show's really funny to watch. So it's definitely worth the time to watch. I think if you can get past, you just kind of have to embrace that it's weird. It's just going to be weird.
Yeah, you've heard it here. That. A girl says the show is not bad otherwise. To watch. So it's not. It can't be that etchy.
Yeah. Just right. Get past the
next
first
one is Recon by Studio Pierrot. It's about a girl that can see ghosts and her friends that kind of, and her group of friends as they do things. That sums up the show. It's a comedy.
I really like the show. I really like the show compared to other supernatural shows I've seen, like School Supernatural, because the lead girl isn't picked on at all for her sixth sense, that's just really refreshing. And outside of the one friend who just kind of, like, freaks out if she thinks there's a spirit, all her friends are they're, like, so chill about it that it's just really fun to watch.
Yeah. For me. The first episode was kind of funny. I liked it. The second episode, I was kind of just checking out mentally. I couldn't really focus. But the third and fourth episodes were better. Episode 3 had some good heart to it. Some good emotional moment there. It kind of reminded me of Plastic Memories to a minor degree. I do like, there is like some comical Yuri-esque moments in there, but it's not Yuri. It just makes fun of the fact, because the main is the main girl Nami, and there's the Narumi, who is the one that is terrified of ghosts. And she doesn't want to believe that there's ghosts, even though everyone else sees them. You can see them when you take pictures. And her reaction's funny. It does reuse the same joke throughout the entire series. And if you don't find it funny, you're just not going to like the show. Simple as that. I do love this cat. See, this is a funny kind of perverted cat. This one in here.
Yeah, this cat. I like this and cat too because he's really funny.
One thing I can't believe is in the last episode, they went to a cliff where there's suicide. People suicide jump off of there, and there's a bunch of ghosts. One thing I'm surprised they tackle such a controversial subject in such a lighthearted manner, especially in Japan. That's a problem. But I mean, I'm not Japanese, so I wasn't offended.
Yeah, I didn't even really like register that. It was more of an implied
thing. That episode was really funny.
Mm-hmm.
It actually made me laugh.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. I liked that beach episode. That was a it was a good beach episode.
And there's no real fan service in the show. Even if, you know, it was a beach episode, it wasn't fan service at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And we got a backstory for one of her friends, too, which was cool. Because now I'll connect to her a little bit better. Because now I know some of her younger years and what she was up to. That was kind of funny. Also, I love the running gag of something is always flying into the one boy's face, and it's always like knocking him flat on his back at the most randomest times. I really like that running gag. I hope they like do that for the whole season.
It's a fun show. It's not like one of the better shows. It's not top 10, but it's fun. If you don't like the first episode, just drop it because you're not gonna like the rest of it. Moving on to one of the year's most interesting shows, Food Wars: Shingeki no Shoma. The show follows Shoma as he enters the world's toughest culinary school, where only 5% less than 10% graduate. Throughout his childhood, he worked with his father to run a restaurant, but now he's taking on a whole new challenge of competing against the best cooks in the school. But what makes this different is the reactions the characters have to his amazing food. They have extremely etchy reactions where their clothes literally burst off as they taste the deliciousness that encompasses them, and using visual metaphors to show what it's like, to the point where it is borderline hentai during one scene, the first episode. But do not let that dissuade you. The first episode is as worse as the etchiness gets. The later ones are almost entirely reserved to the food eating scenes, except for episode 4, which had man service scenes. That was funny. So yeah, the show is combined epic shonen battle anime with epic cooking anime and etchy food reactions, and you have this. There's nothing else like it. It is insanely entertaining. Mm-hmm. Every episode, I am just glued to the screen. It is funny. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It probably makes my top 5 of the season. It's a really fun show. And I don't understand why. It's like, there's not a ton of character to them. I like the characters. They're easy to connect with. And the food reactions are hilarious. And there's even, like, the guys have food reaction. Like, they're the guys' clothes first off, too. So it's equal service, I guess you could say. And they introduce episode 4, a new cast of characters. It's a really fun show, and the music is amazing. It makes the cooking scene so much more epic. And everything about the show just works. It shouldn't work, but it does. What do you think, Jamie?
I'm surprised I like this so much, because I generally don't like a lot of, like, etchy fan service stuff, but it's done in such a way that it's really entertaining and really funny. It's almost not in a fan servicey type of way because it's about the food. So I actually really like this show. I like the lead, even though he has like the potential to be annoying, but he's not at all. I like the, I don't know, I wouldn't say I like her. I like the girl with the long blonde hair. She's like set up almost as a
villain. The girl with the god tongue.
And she's so holier than thou, sort of. Yeah, she's kind of fun. I want to see more of her and him clash. I love all the food. animation. I love how they kind of go into the science of how, like, how he cooked and, like, this is what this ingredient does to make it, make this meat so tender or whatever. Like, he's so passionate about the food and making it taste good that it's just really engaging to watch. And I like that in this last episode, it looks like he actually has some competition because we actually saw him have a big food reaction where his clothes fell off and he was like out there with the cherry petals. And it was like, okay, so he's going to have some competition in this school to try to be number one, which is what he was wanting to be. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be so fun to watch. Especially because I love to cook. I learned how to cook when I was pretty young. So I really enjoy cooking and just food in general. So I like to see anime food. So I'm like automatically watching it.
Yes, Jayshree Staff's animation is really well done. The food looks delicious. I want to eat it. I want to eat that bacon thing made in the first episode. So bad. And yeah, watch it. I would say, okay, if you are like allergic to ecchi at all, I mean, if you're like, if you break out in hives just seeing ecchi or something, I guess stay away from it. But otherwise, try to give it a shot. It's not that bad. Just get over it and watch it. It's hilarious.
It's more than its fan service, because the fan service does serve a purpose, which is why I can put up with it, because it is really funny to see, and it does really show like how good the food is. It's like, wow, is it really that good?
I highly recommend.
I want some of that.
All right. So. Next show is Show by Rock by Studio Bones. The show first makes you think it's going to be K-On! With just a girl going to a rock club. But then she gets sucked into a video game because she's a really great guitarist. And then she joins into this world of where people are like animal versions, like they have bunny ears and cat ears and dog tails and really, you know, cute Neko Mini kind of stuff. And she joins a band and then they play music and they play more music and they do Jack Diddley Squat. They do nothing. So they just play music against other bands and they're cute. I don't hate this show. It is the worst show I am watching, and if I was the type of person that would drop shows, I would have dropped it by now. Studio Bones has actually managed to make the show cute, but they just don't know how to make cute entertaining, moe entertaining. But, okay, one thing that's keeping me coming back is the music. It's not like the greatest thing ever, but there are many songs on here that I would like to have their full versions of. There was some really good stuff, like this most recent episode 4. They had a band from the Far East, so it combined like classic Japanese music with the rock. It was really good. I want to listen to the full song because they did like a minute and a half version. And also during the concert scenes, they changed the animation to 3D animation. And it's not bad, but it's not good 3D animation. I mean, I'd prefer if everything was just 2D. It's not nearly as bad as the first episode. So, Jamie, I know you watched the first episode. You didn't think much of it, did you?
Yeah, I mean, it's one that I should have liked. Like, rule of thumb, I should have fallen in love with it. But I didn't. I think the killer was the 3D animation. It just really reminds me of the 3D animation you see on, like, the Disney Channel or just, like, the cheap American shows, which I see, and I absolutely hate it. I hate being reminded that stuff exists. So that was probably like the clincher. And I was like, okay, I probably am not gonna keep seeing any more of it. It did have a few amusing parts though, like with the egg and the closet scene. Like that made me laugh, even though I was like, what? So I don't know. If it had like a really good ending, I'd maybe give it another try, just because I do like that cutesy stuff.
I would say if you like music
for now,
in Moe,
I don't need to be watching
Ubiquity Euphonium. So much better in every way. Or K-On! If you haven't seen K-On! But I mean, who hasn't seen K-On! Other than me? I need to watch K-On! Alright, next show is Triage X, the spiritual successor to High School of the Dead. It's based on a manga by the guy who did High School of the Dead. And it's is set in a general hospital, but not really, about a guy who employs these high school students and doctors who eliminate the cancers of society, aka they go in and kill bad people. And they just straight up kill them. Think of this as Black Lagoon combined with High School of the Dead. And by me, High School of the Dead, meaning offensively overt fan service everywhere. But they do have they do manage to separate the fan service from the action scene sometimes. I mean, the show literally opens with a fan service shot. That's the first thing you see. But the action is good. The action is really entertaining, and I ever since watching Black Lagoon, and Yorman Gun, I need something that just has straight up guns action. I mean, there's so many shonen fantasy action, but I also want to see something where people get shot in the face with guns. And as a guilty pleasure, this is exactly what I need, although I wish it wasn't so etchy, or at least the fan service was better. Like, High School the DxD does fan service so much better. This show does it in a way where it's not even that well animated, I guess is the way to put it. The action's good. The backstories of the characters are kind of interesting. If you like ecchi or action, I would say check it out. It kind of has a harem-esque element, but I don't really see any affection towards the main character other than one girl. So it's just straight up bad. Good. These people who are kind of like shades of gray for our morality kill bad people. And that's what the show is about. Yeah, so it's really straightforward. It's by Studio Zebek. Next one is My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu Season 2. Basically, it's the second season of Snafu, which was a great show with a great main protagonist. I would say watch the first season, watch the second season. It's more of the same. So, moving on to Yamada-kun to Namito no Majo, or Yamada-kun and the Seven Witches. Yamada is a high school student, and he slacks in class. He's known as a delinquent. He's a tough guy. But then he accidentally falls on top of the beautiful Utara Shinasari, whatever her name is, and they kiss. And then they switch bodies. And they try to figure out what caused their bodies to switch, and eventually figure out that if they kiss someone, they switch bodies with them, regardless of who they are. And then it creates the funniest comedy of the season. I love this show. It's really funny, but then there's also really great drama elements to it. You would think just a show about people kissing and body swapping would be really dumb. But there is some really good drama happening here. Among the hilarious comedy, it's kind of reminded me of Kuroko Connect, just a more comedic version of it. Although, I'm not sure how the Seven Witches thing comes in. I don't know if there's going to be more supernatural things happening. I kind of hope they stick with just the body swapping. And it's by Linden Films. Animation is pretty good. And the opening is one of the best of the season. The animation style for the opening is so... It's like almost like a classical painting. Yeah, it's, but in a way, I don't know, it's just really good. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, I really like the show because it's really funny while also having heart, like, at the same time. I like Yamada-kun because he comes off as, like, this really tough guy, and he's got an earring, and he's just like, he can just get in your face, but he has... we're seeing a heart in him, which I really like. It makes him very likable, even though he's kind of a delinquent. But we know that he kind of knows that he's like that. And it seems like he might want to change or maybe shape up and have a better future, in a sense. So I really like him as a lead. I really like all the other characters. And the body swapping is really, really funny. The show does a really good job of when the characters body swap, the female voice actresses can do a really good job imitating Yamada when it's like Yamada on one of the girls' bodies. So all the voice acting is really on point for the show. So I really like that. I like the fact that while it's really silly and just really funny, I like that it also gives kind of a, not dark, but kind of a somber glimpse at kind of looking at life from a different perspective, like somebody else's perspective. You see what they're struggling with. The characters deal with that in the show, so it's really cool. I really like that. I hope they have a moment of that in like each episode, which they have so far. So this is definitely one of the better shows of the season. I think it's possibly tied with Ori Madoga.
Yes,
I think Ori Madoga is funnier, but it is one of the better comedies of the season. So I really like it. And yes, the opening is one of my favorites. I don't know if it's my favorite, but compared to like how high energy the show is, it's very like simple and calm. It's just, there's not a lot going on in the opening, which is really nice. It's very focused. And the song is really like upbeat. And
yes,
catchy.
I also want to add,
so it's definitely one of my
episode three really progressed. Like, I don't necessarily say the romance, but like the relationship between Yamada and the blonde haired girl. It's deeper than the usual show. I mean, also, the show is going to break the record for most on-screen anime kissing. Because, I mean, they're not shy. She is not shy about kissing him. And in anime, this is like the holy grail of romance anime, even though they're not even that romance yet. It's just weird that way. But I like it, because there's also the comedic thing of body swapping with other people. And, yeah, but that episode three really made me think, well, this is more than just a comedy. The characters, these are kind of real characters. Surprisingly, you look at the show, and don't be discouraged, this is not a harem, at least not yet. And just, you would think it's a cliched show. I expect this to be one of the worst shows of the season, and it turned out to be one of my top 10 favorite. Yeah, I highly recommend it. It's the best show no one is watching. All right, let's move on to the TV shorts. Yeah.
That's really good.
Starting with Americoco, or Rainy Coco. Jamie, why don't you tell us about it?
Well, there's not very much to tell, because we still don't know very much about it, even though we're like 4 episodes in. They're so short. These episodes are like 2 minutes long, and it's about these guys that kind of like hang out in this coffee shop, and that's almost all we know right now. I'm about to like stall on this one and marathon it at the end, because I think I'll enjoy it more. But the guys are really cute, and it has potential. I think it could be a really good show if we had just a little bit more time with it, but I don't know. So I think I'll be marathoning it at the end of the season, just to get more enjoyment out of it.
Here's the thing. It feels like a show, a 20-minute pilot episode that is split into 10 into 2-minute sections. I mean, there's no beginning and end. There's just, okay, here's it going, moving on. And, like, I was able to watch the first 3 episodes in a row, because that's how Funimation got the license for them. And they released all 3 at once. So I watched them, and I was like, this is just, this is just continuing on. I'm going to probably stall it as well. And since this is short, I can come back to it and just give a full review later. There's nothing to it. It's just a bunch of Bashonen guys, and we don't even know what they're doing yet. They're just in a coffee shop. So I would say, if you like Bashonen, maybe wait for it to finish and then just watch it all at once. Next is Donna Ganani, or I Can't Understand What My Husband Is Saying 2. I like the first season. Okay, it's a show about an otaku who married a woman who's not an otaku, and they just kind of, it's about their married life. Which, first off, there's no, married couples do not exist in anime most of the time. It's a little comedic shorts, and the first season, it was more hit and miss for me. Some humor worked, while other ones just didn't. The otaku comedy was good, but the second season is taking everything that was good about the first season and going with it. And it's great so far. I'm really enjoying it. The character is focused a little bit more on the characters, but it also has more of the good comedy. And there's even a Terminator reference. It's really good. I like it. If you like the first season, watch the second season. Jamie?
Yeah, it's very short and very fun, so it's very easy to watch. I really like the second season. I saw the first season, and it was okay. I enjoyed it. I watched it when it was all done, so I just kind of like flew through it because I saw there was going to be a second season. But second season so far is better than the first. So far it's worth the 3 minutes like each week to like sit and watch it because it is really funny. I love the two main characters. I like their little married relationship. They're really cute because they don't seem like, even as a married couple, they don't really seem married. They just seem like two people who love each other, even though they have very different interests. And I don't know, that's what marriage is, I guess. That's what a good marriage is. It's just, even if you don't have everything in common, and if you love each other, then it can be a solid relationship. And that comes through, even with all the comedy, that comes through. So I really like that about this show. So I'm excited to see more.
Yeah. Moving on to the last short. Well, not, we have two more after this. Owari no Usagi-chan, a show about nothing. It's about high school girls doing nothing. It's 3 minutes of nothing. I've never seen a show that is so much about nothing. It's not terrible nothing. Episode 3 actually did something. Well, not something. It was more nothing, but it was entertaining.
What happened? Because I forgot. Do you remember what happened?
They were eating.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were eating, like, the little marshmallow puffs or something.
There isn't anything to this show, is there?
Not really.
I can't recommend it to anyone. Unless you.
The girls are cute, but yeah, they don't really do anything. They, like, walk to school, and then they're just, like, at school. I did like the one moment, though. There was, like, a train railway club. They were, like, in there. It was, like, I think it was called a railway club. And one of the girls did ask, What are you doing in a railway club? And it sounded weird to me, too, so I like that they actually addressed that. But, like, other than that, I don't remember very much from it. It's very forgettable. So.
Yeah, not much to it. Alright, moving on to Ninja Slayer from Animation. Not the animation, from Animation. It's the latest thing by Studio Trigger, and it's about Kenji Fuga something, as he's a normal salary man, but then his wife and children are murdered by a ninja. So he becomes the Ninja Slayer. And they say it in a really epic voice like that. And he ghost kills ninjas. And the animation is non-existent. I mean, it is like cardboard cutouts moving across the screen, kind of like Trigger's Inferno Cop. It's really dumb, but it's kind of funny. It's Studio Trigger being Studio Trigger nonsense. And, you know, they're the ones that did Kill la Kill and Low Witch Academia. It's really dumb, but it's worth watching the first episode for just to see how ridiculous it is. All right, that's all. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Check out my website, animeintrigue.com. You can find me at animeintrigue on Twitter, animeintrigue on Facebook, animeintrigue on Tumblr. You can find all those links on the main website. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Jamie, where can they find you?
Okay, I'm at jamietalksanime.wordpress.com if you want to follow my blog, because I do impression quotes and I review, and there's lots of music. And I eventually want to talk about characters, but it's taking me a long time to get there. I'm on Google+. I can't remember my name. I think it's Jamie Joyce. You can find a link there. And then on Tumblr is the other major place that I talk about anime, and that's jamietalksanime.tumblr.com. So you should find me over there too.
All right, yeah. You'll find the latest first impressions of all the anime we talked about, as well as reviews for anime both new and old on animeintrigue.com, and check out Jamie's website. So, everyone, thank you for listening. Check back again later. Goodbye.
Shinigami.